I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Acacia Swara Lodge, and we are talking about the Berlin Conference. We have talked about the Berlin Conference on several occasions, but it deserves some greater attention. What was the motivation behind the Berlin Conference? An African scholar, Dekeye Adebajo, who works at the University of Pretoria in South Africa, has written a book which all of us must strive to read, The Curse of Berlin, Africa After the Cold War. In that book, he exposes the philosophy and the ideology behind the Berlin Conference. But even outside of that book, we know that prior to the Berlin Conference, several European powers had been present in the continent of Africa as a sphere of trade. British East African Company, the Germans were here, the French had been present, the Danes had been present, the Swedes had been present, the Dutch had been present, the Italians had been present, the Spaniards had been present, the Portuguese had been present. All these countries were in different parts of Africa doing different things. Those who are in West Africa were focused initially, as we know, on slave trade. Then beyond slave trade, there was also the whole idea of cotton. The Portuguese, for example, when they went into Angola, they said the only cash crop that must be grown must be cotton, and everybody must grow cotton. We know that there was gold that was extracted from Ghana, which was then known as the Gold Coast. We know that there was rubber that was extracted from places such as Liberia and even Sierra Leone in the eastern part of Africa. We know that the Germans were present and there were conflicts. The whole idea at that time, and the country that deserves mention in that regard, was Belgium. But we mentioned Belgium a little later, because King Leopold of the Belgians, when he came to the heart of Africa in the Democratic Republic of Congo, actually saw it as his personal property. So within the continent of Africa, the European powers saw the continent as a hunting ground, and they were hunting for different things. And because they were contesting and hunting for different things, they were engaged in conflict. We'll remember, for example, in the southern part of Africa, the Anglo-Boer War, where the British were pitted against the Dutch. After the Dutch had entered into the Cape of Good Hope and Jan van Riebeeck had set up shop down there, the British also came there, and these conflicts were becoming bloody and expensive for people whose main agenda was to ensure that they exploited the continent of Africa. It is in that context that Otto von Bismarck agreed to host the Berlin Conference in 1884 toward the end, up to 1885, majorly at the instigation of King Leopold. In fact, some have described it as Leopold's meeting. But ultimately, the whole idea was to say, we are fighting in Africa. Why are we fighting? Why are we killing each other, and yet this continent can't be divided into spheres of influence? It is a group of hunters saying, there is so much to hunt. There are so many animals in the jungle. Why are we fighting? Why don't we just divide our territories? And once we have devised our territories, then we ensure that everybody respects their boundaries. And this is exactly what happened. It happened with the consequence that at Berlin, there were countries that were allotted their parcels of land. So if you look at Africa, the French had their own sphere of influence, and this sphere of influence was majorly in western part of Africa, in what is now known as the Sahel, covering countries including Algeria, Morocco, Niger, Burkina Faso, what is now called Benin, which was Dahomey, Togo, Gabon, that was French. The Italians also had their sphere of influence, and they had it in Libya. They had it in what is today Eritrea. They had it in Somalia, which was controlled by this by the Italians in Mogadishu. The British had their own spheres of influence. The Portuguese, the Germans also had their spheres of influence, and this is sometimes forgotten. The Germans controlled what is now Tanzania or Tanganyika and Rwanda, Urundi, and they also controlled part of Cameroon and what is now Dahomey. And the Germans were very strong in that regard. The Belgians ultimately took control of the Democratic Republic of Congo. The Spanish, even the Spanish, had their sphere of influence in Equatorial Guinea, and of course in Sao Tome and Principe. And all these players then divided the continent in that way. But Berlin is notorious because it was an arbitrary partition of the continent of Africa. And some say that indeed it is because of Berlin that many conflicts were to arise outside of the continent of Africa. But before we talk about that, it's important to note that after this First World War, the Germans lost their territory, because after they were defeated, their territories were then given as trust territories. Their territory, for example, in southwestern Africa, which is Namibia today, was given to the South Africans. And of course, in Rwanda, Urundi, it was also given to the Belgians. And Tanganyika was given to the British. And of course, in West Africa, they also lost it to the British and partly to the French. But the most important thing is this arbitrary partition. And this is how callous it was, so that you come to East Africa and you find countries which are now created, which is British protectories or protectorates or colonies. Kenya, take one ethnic group called the Maasai. You now find them some in Kenya, some in Tanzania. You go to the Kenya, the same Kenya, you find the Somalis. Some are to be found in what is known as, was then known as, the Northern Frontier District. You come to a country like Uganda, you find communities which are split from between Uganda, the Democratic Republic of Congo. You go to Ghana, you find the Moba, who are split between Togo and Ghana. You go to Nigeria, you find the Yoruba, who are to be found, some are to be found even in Cameroon and some in Nigeria. You go to Burkina Faso and you find the Zagawa, and you find them in Chad. You go to Nigeria and you find the Hausa Fulani or the Mandinka. They are to be found in Guinea. They are to be found in Liberia. They are to be found in Senegal. You go to Gambia and Senegal, you find the Wolof. And these are nations which existed as distinct with kingdoms which move from time to time. And when Adekeye Adebayo therefore talks about the curse of Berlin, he's saying that as a result of the partitioning of Africa into these spheres of influence, a number of things happened. It became a breeding ground for conflict, for conflicts which were hitherto unknown. It became a breeding ground for conflicts which could not and cannot be resolved up to today. It became a breeding ground for contestation. It became a breeding ground for many things which continue to bedevil Africa today. Let us look at the ongoing conflict involving the use of the Nile. When the Berlin Conference came about and the British had their spheres of influence, they were present in Uganda, they were present in Sudan, they were present in Kenya. What they did was to enter into treaties on how the Nile would be used by the British. Those treaties are alive today. And even now, as we talk about the ongoing contestation and possible conflict between Ethiopia and Egypt, is because of these neo-colonial treaties, which were a product of the Berlin Wall, which makes the Egyptians say that you cannot, you Ethiopians, build the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam because there is a treaty that tells you you cannot use that those waters unless we consent. It also tells us that there is a treaty that tells the East African countries and the Nile Basin that the Egyptians must be involved. One is not saying that the Egyptians ought not to be involved, but one can see a direct impact of the Berlin Partition in that regard. If you look at the conflict which has existed for a long time between Rwanda and Burundi and the Democratic Republic of Congo, involving different contestors, including contemporarily what the army that is called the M23 or the group that is called the M23, we see that even the genocide that has taken place in Rwanda over the years, the 1959 and 1994 genocide, as a result of the partition that took place in Berlin in 1884, 1885. If you look at the contestation in countries such as Namibia, when you talk at the contest between the Nama and the Herero, it is because of this Berlin Partition. If you look at the contest that exists between Ethiopia and Somalia, it is because of the Berlin conference which led to the partition. All these have come about because of that single act of selfish European powers which gathered in Berlin with only one agenda: to create a continent that was divided for the purpose of exploitation. And one may talk about it in the past tense, but we must remind ourselves that indeed the ghost of Berlin continues to dance around the continent of Africa. There is a book that is written called The Ghosts of King Leopold, which talks about the impact of the partition of Berlin and how the Democratic Republic of Congo was created with over 230 ethnic groups, completely ignoring the fact that these were nations and kingdoms that were run very differently, and that therefore, even as you are partitioning, if you are partitioning at all, you ought to have been sensitive to these realities. But these were ignored because what they were looking at is simply, what do we gain from it? It was so blatant that the British could even gift mountains, that Mount Kilimanjaro could be gifted by a British monarch. And you could see even the naming of places in Africa. The lake is named Victoria, the falls are named Victoria Falls, and all these, the lakes are named Albert, the lakes are named George, the lakes are named Edward. This is how arrogant those who sat in Berlin were. And we continue as African countries to live with the burden of Berlin. And that is how I hear Adeke Adebajo, when he talks about the curse of Berlin, he is telling Africans never to forget that what happened is in Berlin is not just history. We are living with it today. Boundaries that we are so wedded to, the boundaries that we fight about, were boundaries that were imposed on the continent of Africa. They have created a gridlock, and that gridlock is what is embedded in our mind. Adeke Adebajo is telling us, even when you regained independence and you play these national anthems and you have these national mottos, remember that there is a sense in which these are products of Berlin. He is therefore saying, not in so many words, but telling us perhaps this is the time to remove the curse of Berlin. And this curse of Berlin can only be removed if we begin to look at the boundaries not as gridlocks, but merely for purposes of administration, so that we can exorcise the ghost of Berlin, a dangerous ghost which continues to dance its macabre dance of death a death which is painful. As we continue to have our conversation about the continent of Africa, we must say goodbyes, but we will come back again to continue the conversation.